This podcast was recorded Wednesday, March 20th at 3:20 p.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Like those British tabloids, we'll discover that that famous painting of King Henry VIII was altered to make him look thinner. 16th century photoshopping, if you will. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who spend months tearing each other apart and then become political best friends before election night is over. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, lots of choices for Snollygoster of the week, but we settle on one. But first, there can be no doubt, at least for the Republican Party, Ohio is firmly MAGA country. Despite being a political newcomer, despite not having the support of establishment Republicans like Governor Mike DeWine and former U.S. Senator Rob Portman, despite millions of dollars worth of attack ads thrown at him, Bernie Moreno is the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, thanks largely to the endorsement of the 45th President of the United States.
I also want to thank President Trump. I just got off the phone with President Trump. And, you know, the reality is we have an opportunity now. We have an opportunity now to retire the old commie and send him to retirement home and then save this country.
Moreno is referring to Sherrod Brown, who seeks his fourth term in the U.S. Senate. He ran unopposed in the Democratic primary. Here are the top line numbers, despite polls showing State Senator Matt Dolan closing the gap and even leading in the final days of the campaign. Moreno won in a landslide. He captured a majority of the Republican vote, 51%, beating Dolan by 18 points. And the only candidate who has won a statewide race, he won two of them, in fact, Secretary of State Frank LaRose, only got 17% of the vote. So it turns out the Trump endorsement was worth way more than LaRose's name ID and Matt Dolan's personal wealth. So now it's on to November. And Sherrod Brown has his line of attack ready, as heard Tuesday night on MSNBC.
Bernie Moreno always looks out for himself. I mean, he has said in this campaign that he won't work with Democrats. He just is going to go to Washington and do his own thing. He's illustrated that by, again, calling for a national abortion ban with no exceptions, even though Ohio overwhelmingly last November voted by 13 points. For constitutional amendment on abortion rights. And the arrogance of he doesn't really care what the voters want, that's really who he is, and we will make that contrast.
Joining us to break down what happened and what lies ahead is OSU political scientist Paul Beck, a longtime observer of Ohio politics. Welcome back to Snollygoster, Paul.
Good to be with you, Mike.
You know, the public polling in the Senate primary was fairly scarce. It mainly included polls of registered voters and not likely voters, which can make the numbers less reliable. But I think very few people, very few experts even, thought that Bernie Moreno would get over 50% of the vote. But he did. Why do you think that happened?
Well, first, it was an extraordinary feat for anybody in a three-person primary where there are three fairly well-known and well-financed candidates, who's able to get a majority, has scored a significant landslide victory, and Moreno got that. I was surprised by the outcome. The Trump endorsement obviously mattered a lot. It may have mattered even more for Moreno than it did for J.D. Vance back in 2022, but it clearly was important. And of course, it puts Moreno firmly in the MAGA camp, for better or for worse. And his fate is going to be tied to the fate of Donald Trump as we go through the 8 months left in the political campaigns for president.
In a primary, it certainly helps to be closely aligned with President Trump. Frank LaRose tried to line up that endorsement. Even after he failed to get the endorsement, he was a full-throated supporter of the president. But Bernie Moreno's ads, where he was next to Donald Trump in every one of them, he was next to Donald Trump at the rally last weekend in Dayton, and that had to be the difference.
Yeah, I think it was. And I think that what happened with LaRose is that he disadvantaged himself by how hungry he appeared to be for the Trump endorsement, even after he didn't get it. And I would think that probably diminished him in the eyes of some of the voters.
You know, let's look at him for just real quick, then we'll get to Matt Dolan. But he's won two statewide races, granted for a lower profile office, Secretary of State. You know, he carried the flag for Republicans and conservatives on one of their key issues, opposing abortion rights, last year.
Yes.
And then he just got no traction in this race. He has to be pissed. I would be mad if I were Frank LaRoche.
Yeah. Well, it didn't work for him. He thought it was going to. He also was out in front on the attempts in the August primary to change the requirements for ballot issues. Lost that. He then lost again as the front man in the November contest. I think there were those two wounds, and then his inability to get the Trump endorsement maybe was a third wound. One wonders what happens to him going forward. He will be term limited, of course, in the Secretary of State's office. There will be other statewide executive positions available. He shouldn't put his hat back in the ring for a Senate race, and that's not going to come up for 4 years. So the real question is, what is the future for Frank LaRoche?
Yeah, I mean, he had a great resume. He's a veteran. I mean,
yes.
It's just really, he has to be saying, you know, what did I do wrong? Matt
Well,
Dolan.
And by the way, what's interesting to me, Mike, is that I belong to an organization that Ted Celeste and others set up some years ago that was focused on trying to make politics more civil. And Frank LaRoche was one of the favorite legislators in that organization and would come to various receptions that we had. I remember talking with him in, I think it was on the roof of the Smith Brothers building on 4th. And I was very impressed with him. But he's moved from being somebody who was willing to work with both sides, who appeared to be independent of ideological extremes. And now I think he is firmly there, but there without an office to show for it.
Yeah. But you look at J.D. Vance, he did the same thing. Bernie Moreno.
Yes.
He's not been in elected office, but he did the same thing. He was not a Trump fan early on. He supported things like the gay games in Cleveland, supported paths to citizenship and immigration, but he tacked to the Trump right, and it worked out for him. Matt Dolan, state senator, well-known in political circles, perhaps not as well-known statewide among average voters. He ran 2 years ago, came in basically tied for second. He and his supporters threw a lot of really tough ads at Moreno at the end, but it just didn't work.
Yep.
What happened?
Well, it may tell you that establishment Republicanism is dead in Ohio. You would think that endorsements from Portman and DeWine would have loomed very large in voters' minds. But the voters, I think, no longer are listening to them. And what they're doing is listening to Trump and many of the Trump people who have been put in place in the last 2 to 4 years, or even since 2016, actually, who have taken over the party. One set of contests that I haven't had time to look at were the contests for the state Republican Central Committee. And that committee already was trending Trumpward. My guess is that Trump forces have entirely captured that committee, but I don't know that yet.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a surprise. And they know they've put their own people at the top. You've seen those fights over the years.
Absolutely.
The Mike DeWine endorsement caught a lot of people by surprise. He said he was not going to endorse in this race, which I think probably the three candidates at first said, thank you, because he's not very popular among Republican activists. So do you think there's possibility that his endorsement of Dolan hurt Dolan?
That's an interesting question. DeWine obviously has not been very popular among Republicans for a variety of reasons that go back in time. On the other hand, you would think that there would be a significant number of Republican voters who would pay attention to a DeWine endorsement in a positive way. And yet it didn't seem to happen. Dolan was not advanced beyond what his polling was, even leading into the final weeks of the election. In fact, I think he didn't even come close to what the polls were showing he might achieve in that contest. Yeah. So it's obvious that establishment wing of the party is diminished in Ohio. Who will inherit it going forward? I mean, we've got a gubernatorial race coming up in 2 years. It'll be interesting to see who emerges there, both as candidates, and I think it's not going to be LaRose, but who emerges there as candidates, and then who in the end gets the gets the win in the primary and gets the Trump endorsement,
yeah,
if Trump is still on the scene.
Yeah, if he wins in November, or if he claims that he wins in November and stays on the scene. You know, the Democrats.
Well, we need to remember, by the way, that even if Trump loses in November,
yeah,
and isn't able to change the result, he could still run again in 2028, which may create real problems for erstwhile Republican nominees or candidates for president.
Yeah. The Democrats got involved somewhat. Allies of Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer spent about $2 million on ads to help Bernie Moreno. They claim that Moreno is too conservative for Ohio, something that might appeal to, I don't know, conservative Republicans.
Yes.
That meddling really didn't make a difference with the margin, right?
I think not. I never like to see that because I think it can come back to bite you. And maybe it did in this race here in 2024. It's worked before in some races, but it's a far stretch when you take a look at the three candidates. Was Bernie Moreno much more conservative than either Dolan or LaRose? I don't think so, in terms of at least their stated positions. And of course, Moreno himself had been somebody who had given money to Democrats in the past, and been supportive of some Democrats in the past. He's also somebody, and again, I'm not in these circles myself, but I think he's somebody who is familiar to the upper echelon of Republican leaders in Ohio. And so it's not as if he's somebody out there at the extremes who has been fighting against the establishment. He's in some ways been a part of that establishment, even though he wanted to distance himself from it in this 2024 contest.
It's very similar to J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance, you know, venture capitalist, high-tech money.
Yes.
San Francisco, Northern California, made a lot of money, establishment Republican. It's almost like they're playing a role. You know, they're of strict conservative values, less taxes, less government, but they know they have to sort of wear that MAGA hat to get elected.
No, that's right. And in fact, J.D. Vance was kind of a classic conservative and then changed his stripes in order to get the Trump endorsement. And maybe the true J.D. Vance is the one we see right now, who is very much in the MAGA corner in the Senate.
Yeah. That brings us to the fall campaign, which now officially is underway, even though it's the middle of March.
Mm-hmm.
I assume these Schumer ads are kind of going to be what Sherrod Brown's strategy is going to be, that Bernie Moreno is too conservative, especially on abortion rights. You heard it in that clip that we played, especially when it comes to worker rights and minimum wage,
yes,
and things like that. That's going to be what Sherrod Brown is hammering him on.
Absolutely. Yes.
Do you think it'll work?
Well, it remains to be seen, but I think that it will help Sherrod Brown. He, I believe, has an advantage in campaigns. We've seen it in the past, that he is perceived by Ohio voters, even some conservative or white working class voters, as authentic, as somebody who cares about them. And in fact, he said that in his comments on the race yesterday, that Bernie Moreno only cares about himself, whereas Sherrod Brown really cares about Ohio. I think many Ohioans believe that Sherrod Brown cares about Ohio, and we surely are going to hear that theme stressed again and again and again during the campaign.
We never saw an ad from Bernie Moreno during the primary that it did not include his face with Donald Trump's face.
Yes.
Will we not see an ad from Bernie Moreno that does not include Sherrod Brown's face with Joe Biden's face?
Oh, I think we're going to see plenty of those. Yes. Yeah, he's going to try to tie Sherrod Brown to Joe Biden. Sherrod Brown is a strong supporter of Biden's. Voted, I think the figure was 98 or 99% of the time, where he differentiates himself from National Democrats is on issues like NAFTA, where he has been an opponent of NAFTA going all the way back to the Clinton years. I think white working class Ohioans, particularly Northeastern Ohio, very much value that, and they see that Brown really is one of them. I remember years ago going to a Brown rally, by the way, in Appalachia, and this was in a coal county, in effect. And Brown had the meeting out of his hand because he was saying all the right things. He wasn't attacking the coal industry, though he, by the same token, was not supportive of it. He was saying that he wanted to get behind the interests of former coal miners and try to help them out, which he has done over time legislatively. And so I think he's carved out a unique position for himself among Democrats, even Democrats in Ohio.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Donald Trump is on the ballot this November, so that really changes everything. This is the first time that I think Sherrod Brown has been on the ballot with Donald Trump. And will there be ticket splitting when those two are together on the ballot? We shall see. Paul Beck, OSU political science professor, thanks for joining us on Snollygoster.
Good to be with you, Mike. Good to be back on Snollygoster.
Great. We'll be right back.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the week. We could give it to the House candidate who mistakenly sent out a concession email hours before the polls closed. Methinks it was to get attention, which it did on social media, so we won't give him attention here. The press release was correct in the end, by the way. This candidate finished last in his bid for Congress. We could give it to Governor DeWine, who at 5 minutes till 5 p.m. on the Friday before St. Patrick's Day, the Friday before the primary election, sent out a press release that officially said the Intel project near Central Ohio would be delayed by 2 years. That's a good nominee. But instead, we will give it to Democratic Franklin County prosecutor candidate Anthony Pearson. He was running against two candidates in the primary in the Democratic side, including Columbus City Council member Shayla Favor. At Favor's urging, the Franklin County Democratic Party did not endorse a candidate in this race. But the party's screening committee did recommend the party endorse Pearson. So Pearson, on Election Day, printed up cards very similar to the party endorsement cards. But if voters read carefully, they would see that the card said the Franklin County Democratic Party Screening Committee recommended Pearson. Very shrewd, very tricky, but unsuccessful. Favor easily beat Pearson and will be heavily favored to become Franklin County's next prosecutor after the November election. He didn't win the race, but at least Anthony Pearson gets our Snollygoster of the Week award. That'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to give us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us grow audience. Just tell your friends about us. That's another way to do it. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.